Okay, hello, and welcome to the latest episode of Innovations in Education, eSchool News' podcast on the latest and greatest happenings in K-12 ed tech. I'm Kevin Hogan, and I'm glad you found us. This month's conversation is produced in conjunction with eSchool News' December guide on blended and online learning, which you can obviously find up online at eschoolnews.com. This microsite is packed with resources with titles such as 5 Ways to Create a Stellar Online Elementary Learning Program, How to Prioritize Social Growth During Online Learning, 5 Tips to Keep Online Students Motivated, and plenty more. There certainly isn't a lack of discussion when it comes to this topic. As schools continue to grapple with learning challenges and teacher shortages post-pandemic, technology has become more important than ever. A report released this month called Building Back Stronger, New Thinking in Technologies Reshaping Education, delves into the myriad ways K-12 schools are embracing different methodologies and cutting-edge technologies to support students following a period of declining academic success. I had the chance to chat with one of the authors, Christopher Klein. He's an education consultant for Advances Education, who were sponsors of the paper. I thought it was a great conversation. Always enjoy spending time with Chris. Have a listen. Okay, Chris, thanks again for joining me. This is our first rodeo here. Been having some great conversations over, I won't date ourselves how many years, but it's been a while. So welcome back.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Glad to be here.
And in this instance, I guess we're kind of talking at the same time where you folks have dropped some data out into the world just this week, with a report called Building Back Stronger, New Thinking and Technologies that are Reshaping Education. Maybe we can start off and you can just talk a little bit about the report and what the results came about.
Yeah, so I think the big thing, the reason why this report was necessary is, you know, we've been doing this for a while now. We're no longer a spin-up company that had a cool product that came out there. We've established ourselves over the last 6 years. We've really gone deep. We've seen what's happening in education. We weathered the storm from COVID. We saw how things have both responded from a classroom and pedagogical aspect, but also from a financial aspect with the ESSER funding and things like that. And as we sat back, we looked at our growth pattern as a company, and myself also as a professional, is we've got information that we can share. It's not just about slinging a product. It's not just about trying to move boxes. We actually have been able to benefit by being in 80 different countries and learning what other educators and what other education systems are doing. So we said, let's take this opportunity. It's been a while since we've gone back to the well and put on our talking heads hat. And let's actually see, this is what we see happening. This is a direction we see going. We're doing this not just from our marketing pitch, but we're doing it from the stuff we're actually seeing happening in the real world. Let's see if we can help educators feel better about their choices, maybe make some more informed choices, and really start to chart this path for the next iteration of what ed tech's going to be.
Yeah, you cover a variety of subjects that we can't really all hit upon in one 20-minute podcast. But one that I want to kind of focus on was in one of the chapters, you bring out one of the classic ed tech catchphrases of flipping the classroom, which that goes back at least 10 years, and talks about a different modality of learning, right? And when that first came out, it was pretty radical. March 2020 comes around, and the concepts of the flipping the classroom, or remote learning, or blended learning, or online learning, whatever phrases that you want to talk about, became a stark reality in about 10 days. And it turned into this great the greatest beta test in education history. Talk a little bit about where you, since that time, where some of those innovations have come and what kind of sets the table for going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So I agree with you. We did cover a wide range in our white paper. Obviously, there's a lot that's actually happening right now, which is both scary, but it's also comforting to know that people are still investing their time, effort, energy, and smarts towards what we can do better. So everything from AI to, as you said, the flipped classroom model, which is not anything new. This has been around for quite some time, as you said. I've always learned that education in the United States is very much like not driving a speedboat. It's very much like driving a pretty much an ocean liner. I mean, you could start to turn the wheel, but it's going to take a long time for you to actually be able to get the entire mass of the industry moving in a direction. So quite often, what we find is what's being implemented today is actually coming out of research and development in think tanks from 30 years ago. The flipped classroom model is something that's been around for a while, but it took a little bit of time for people to kind of wrap their head around it because we were so locked into the traditional front of class, one-to-many type of direct instructional model. There's a place for that. I'm not saying that one is necessarily always better than the other, et cetera, but the core of what that flipped classroom model really boiled down to is when you have students in class, why aren't you doing more with the students in class when you have them in your immediate proximity? We always joke about in the industry, well, that meeting could have been a PowerPoint. That meeting could have been an email. Yeah. How many classroom sessions could be a PowerPoint, could be a recorded video, could be something that you don't have to be synchronous. You don't have to be in the same space to look at the bulleted list, to hear the same things that the teacher's going to say. If the teacher took the same amount of time, instead of, as a former social studies teacher that taught 5 sections of the same course, instead of me repeating it 5 times a day, why don't I record it once and then spend my time when I have the students in class actually doing something about it, doing something with that data? Instead, the model typically, traditionally has been, I'm going to tell you what you need to do, and then you go off on your own and do it. And then you come back the next day and I tell you what you did wrong. The flipped classroom model and what was brought about and really sort of put on steroids by COVID was, no, I'm going to tell you about it when you're away from class. And then when you come into class, that's a work session. Let me actually sit down next to you. Let me assist you when you have the problem so you don't have to write down your questions to ask in class tomorrow. Let's address it then and there. Let's do it in the heat of the moment. Let's do it when that learning is raw and taking place. You can listen to me talk anytime, but when we're together, that's when the magic needs to happen. And as you said, COVID, I've used this term quite a bit. I may have used it previously with you, but COVID to me was the big chair tip moment of the 21st century, basically, for education, which is when you lean back on your chair, and you lean a little bit too far and all of a sudden you catch yourself and your heart jumps up into your chest or your heart jumps into your throat. That's what COVID kind of was, because all of a sudden, within 10 days, as he said, we realized what we were not prepared for. And so then we spent time, effort, energy, professional development, money onto building so we could never be put in that situation again. Yeah. So we have put the money into it. We have put the capital into it. It did force us to say, well, now you're going to do self-recording. You're going to handle that. So now we've got teachers that are much more familiar with putting themselves on camera, putting their voice on audio, using their built-in webcams, et cetera, doing all of this pre-canning it up front that they had to do for distance learning. Now they're doing it for in-class learning, but there's change in the way it's being delivered. Let's use work time for work time. You can research on your own outside of class.
And it seems to me that, you know, you don't want to ever experience a pandemic, but there are some silver linings that came out of it. One of the big things is a change of behavior. Now, maybe for the students, it didn't seem as much of a change of behavior. I mean, this is the way they've always done it, right? But maybe the behaviors came up at the faculty side of things.
It really did. I think that the students have grown up already accepting the fact that they look at pre-canned or pre-created, pre-moderated materials to find out whatever it is they want to find out. And we've talked about that in education quite a bit, where if a student wants to learn something, the last thing they're going to be held back by is the teacher. They will go and find what they want to find because they've got Google, because they've got YouTube. I look around and I'm like, well, do you know how to change that electrical outlet? No, but I got a video right here on YouTube that I can watch. It's going to walk me through how to do it because I don't need to know it because I'm not an electrician, but I need to know it right now. I know how to find that data. So students have been very comfortable with that. Teachers have been in a situation where they don't like to necessarily be on record, I think. You know, there's a certain protection to when I close the door of my classroom, what happens inside that classroom with that group of students, what we talk about, how we talk about it. It sort of is a protected space to a certain degree. Whereas when you start pre-recording, when you start pre-canning and pre-curating your content, you have to then be able to stand alone out of context. And that was a big sort of switch that teachers had to kind of go through in their head. Well, if I say this, is it going to come back to haunt me later? Because now it's recorded. Now I know that's going to be the case. But